Hallelujah. Just be still and know that I am God, he says. That's Psalm 46. He starts off by saying in Psalm 46 that God is my refuge and my strength. God is my ever-present help in times of trouble. He ends with those words, just be still and know that I'm God. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray right now for our children who are heading out to Sunday school and the nursery. You watch over them, God. Thank you for that generation that is rising up. And I pray, Lord, that they'll know about you and that you will plant the seed of your good word deep into their hearts, and that they will be children who respond easily with faith. Thank you, God, that we're here to worship you. And as we've sang, God, we just ask you to be the potter and to have your way. We need you, Lord, to just direct our paths here. And we need to be reminded, too, how great you are, that you're in control even when the whole world seems out of control, that there is order even in the chaos, that you have a plan that we don't always see, but you have a huge plan, and that your plan ultimately is to redeem us and to bring us to a glory and to an eternal life. Your plan is, and always has been, that we would be saved through your Son and by the power of your blood, Jesus. So, God, I just ask right now that you'll take away. God, we right now, I just pray for you to remove what stands in the way of us hearing you today. And maybe it's just a bad attitude or a bad experience this morning or an argument or some lousy driver ahead of us. None of that stuff matters right now, God. None of it matters. What we want is to hear from you and to fellowship with you, God. And I know, too, God, that there are some of us here today are going to just feel like running. We don't want to sit here. We don't want to be here very long. And we're going to want to leave. I pray, God, that you just take that urge away and that we'll learn to just find peace in you and that this is a really good place for us to be in this hour. We can sit in your lap and get some comfort that we can only get from you and receive peace, your shalom, your peace, your love, your mercy. We need it so much, God. And so just lead us, Lord, like a shepherd today and teach us to be still. Just teach our hearts to quit rumbling and grumbling and just to be still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whew. It's good to be with friends and with other Christians, and it's good to know that when we worship God, he's just so ready to receive our praise and our worship, right? We get into trouble sometimes. I want to talk a bit about trouble this morning and then just share. There's going to be maybe some sharing. I know I've been in different kinds of trouble. There's different ways you can describe that, getting into trouble. You know, trouble is when there's a red light behind you and a siren. We know, some of you know what that's like too, or when someone says, you know, hands up, you know, that's a certain kind of trouble. There's other kinds of trouble that sometimes happen in life that really have nothing to do with anything that we could do anything about. We can't even change it or help it. And I'm just sharing this from our own experience. So I'm just sort of today speaking on behalf of Crystal and myself, because we found ourselves in trouble this week. So it's just been a hard time. Let's just explain it. Last Monday, we have a son. Some of you know Seth and Shannon, and they live in Red Deer. They go to church at Crossroads. They come here sometimes, but they go there. But she's expecting twins, and on Monday, one of the sacs of one of the twins, there's two different embryonic sacs. One of them ruptured, and she's only 21 weeks along. So they brought her to the hospital, and they checked it all out. And sure enough, you know, there's amniotic fluid that's, you know, a bunch of the fluid has leaked out of the one sac. And the problem is that you can't just have one or the other. They both do the same thing. So if she goes into labor, they'll both be born, and they're both too young at this point. In a couple of days, they'll be 22 weeks. But they need, even before doctors will consider them viable, they need to be 23 weeks. So in other words, right now, if they were to be born, they could be alive, and they likely would be for a little while, and they'll be on the table, and they'll squirm, and they'll move their hands, and they'll be breathing a little bit. And the doctors will just let that be. They won't do anything to help them until they hit 23 weeks. And it's kind of a crazy thing, because at 23 weeks, they'll do everything in their power to keep it alive, right? So there's this crazy, someone somewhere along the line picked a deadline and said, this is the week, you know, and anything before this, we're not going to do anything about. Anything after this, we'll do everything to save the lives. And so, I mean, let me just say the good things. Good things is that in the last 6 days, she's been doing really well. Both babies are still alive. Thank you, God. And even though, you know, the doctors are very doubtful, and I think, I don't know, they always seem to be so doubtful. I don't know if they learn that. I think they do it to prepare us so that we expect or we're ready for the worst, you know, but they just keep saying, yeah, it's not going to happen. They don't see the likely. It's always this unlikely thing. It's very unlikely, they say. Very unlikely that these children are going to be born. And if they are born, they could be highly deformed. There could be all kinds of problems. But, you know, I know that might be unlikely from a medical science point of view, but I also know that I have a God, and I believe in him with all my heart, who does the unlikely, right? What is faith? You know, if we just believe in the likely things, it seems to me that's not much for faith, right? We just believe in the things that just make sense all the time and that are just likely. Well, that's not faith. Is believing in a God who can do the unlikely. And so we've been rallying people to pray. We have people praying from all over Canada and United States. And I'm asking you today to pray. You know, I mean, here's a time when we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves hurting for our kids. And I'm someone who I know God's in control, but you know, there's some things that I can fix sometimes in life. If my son has a flat tire, I can go over there with a tire wrench and a jack, and I can help him with that. Or sometimes you can throw money at something, we can fix it, sort of, you know. But I can't fix this. I know, and I am, but God can, right? Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, it's a good place to be. It is a miracle. It is a miracle in progress. It's not just happening in the future. I believe that miracle is happening. And I just call out to God, and I cry out to him and say, you know, out of the depths, David said, it's out of the depths that I cry out to you. And why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. And the Word of God... The Word of God just jumps off the pages, you know. God gave me this word right off the bat, you know, just that very first night. And we prayed all night long, Crystal and I, the first night, and we've been praying since. You know, just keep praying. He says, you know, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And I just said to God, God, I fear you, and I love you. And I know that your angel is encamping around us. And those little children, those two little babies need your protection, God. Only you can do this. And it doesn't matter what man says. All that matters is what you say, God. And we just cry out to you, God. You are my refuge. You are my strength, and you are my ever-present help in times of trouble. And you know what? When we find ourselves in trouble like that, even though, you know, sometimes I'm in trouble because of what I do or what dumb things I might have said or mistakes I've made, I guess it doesn't really matter. If you find yourself in trouble, you just need to come to God. We need to turn to God. We need to cry out to him and say, God, you're my refuge and strength. And I'm lost without you. And I have felt, I don't know if you can appreciate this, but I have experienced the dipstick of faith in my life. You know, on the dipstick, there's more faith than there was earlier. And it's going to increase more and more. And I'm seeing it not just in my life. I'm seeing it in my children. I'm seeing that God uses hard things sometimes, and sometimes those things are trials, but those trials are used by God so that we draw closer to him and so that we recognize something that often we forget, and that's that, you know, we are not in control at all. I'm not in control of anything. My next breath, I have no control over it, and God is. He is God. He's in control. And sometimes we go through these hard things, and we don't always know why. In fact, a lot of times we don't know why at all, but it's a real opportunity for us to just draw near to God, just to come close to him, just to ask him, Lord, just heal and sustain these lives. These lives, realistically, these two little babies need to make it to Christmas, you know. And her mom's in bed rest right now, not allowed to get out of bed. And they're afraid. They're worried. And I get that. But would you do me a great service? And Crystal, just pray and call your friends to pray. Because, I mean, I believe, and we've seen this before. I think about, you know, Julie, you know, and her being healed, you know, and when they said she had cancer and that it was really, really bad. And it wasn't long, you know, and that's just one example. I've been thinking, though, about that this week. And God can do anything. So it's about prayer, though, and it's about community. God works through the body, right? I don't stand alone before God. I stand with the body that I'm a part of. And there's times when you know, every one of us, it strikes me that this is true too. Every one of us will find us in, you'll all find yourself in a place somewhere along the line where you're in trouble. You know, today it might be me, tomorrow it might be Tim, or it might be someone else. I shouldn't say that, because I'm not trying to put curses on you or anything like that. But you know what I'm saying, right? That because we live in such a broken world, you will find yourself somewhere along the line suddenly in a place where you can't fix something and where everything seems to be going wrong, and you're going to need the body like I need you guys today. So I wanted to share that and then open up the floor just for some scripture. You know, maybe there's some scripture you could share, or if there's a story, make them short. You know, I'd like to hear from a lot of people today. I think it's encouraging for me and for Crystal, but for God too. You know, just that we give him glory and we remind ourselves what his word says. Here's another one that he said to me. He said, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? Who can stand against us? No one can stand against God. Okay, Don. Thank you.
Galatians 2:20 says, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray right now. Lord, we lift up the Stan's family. We lift up these little babies to you. Father, we're calling out to you for more faith.
Yes, God.
So we call to you for faith. Galatians 2:20, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. So if we feel we haven't got enough faith, we call on you, Father. We call on you for more faith. Lord, we claim that verse for Stan's family right today, Galatians 2:20, the faith of Jesus Christ. Some translation says we have the faith in Jesus, but I, like King James, says the faith of. I can have faith in you, but I haven't got your faith. But when we call on you, Lord, for your faith, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. We have your faith, Lord. And we believe, Lord, we stand on your promises. Jesus. We believe these babies will be saved. They will grow up to be great children for you, Lord. We pray this prayer. We pray this prayer for you, for these children, Lord.
Amen.
And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their mother and then the babies and their father right now, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother. Just so you know, their names are Seth and Shannon. Seth is my son, and Shannon is my daughter-in-law.
Well, this makes sense to me now. This morning, I woke up with a vivid picture in my mind, and it didn't make any sense to me till this moment. I saw these jellyfish, and there was one that had the word fisher came to me. Like it was like an opening, like a split, and I saw it heal, and it was quivering and healthy and well. And anyway, I believe this is for your daughter-in-law, and I believe that the Lord wants us to pray specifically for him to heal that opening and restore that fluid. That amniotic fluid restored, and those babies are flourishing even in there. And I believe he's doing that right now. And
yes,
just like Peter, as he stepped out on the water and had to walk on that water, it must have been really, really nerve-wracking for a mere man to have to trust God like that.
Right.
But as he looked to the Lord, his faith just increased. And if he looked down, it got shaky and he probably got nervous. But every time that doubt comes in, we're just to look to the Lord and claim what he's already given us.
That's right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Praise God. I just want to say this. I wanted to tell you a long time ago, like I met Shannon, and you know, like a week later, it was impressed upon me that the babies are going to be fine. Yeah. So even whatever is happening now, it's just a way for God to show his power and to show you that he's your God. And Shannon is going to be okay. The babies are going to be fine. And God is going to touch them.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're going to be very, very, very fine. So don't worry about
that.
It.
Thank you.
They're going to be fine.
Let's give it to him.
Praise the Lord. Two nights ago, I had a dream. No, not two nights, about a week ago. And in that dream, before I had that dream, I was kind of telling God that I want to learn how God speaks, that I want to be able to hear him talk to me. And, you know, I've been praying that prayer for a long time. And that night, I dreamt that there was a father and a son. And I was with them. And there were these, I don't know, looks like a mud or gum or something very dirty. And I found out that everything was my hands was filled with dirty stuff. And I'm like, hey, why did you put this thing in my hand? It's too dirty. I don't want to touch this. It's dirty. And the man told me, he said, you see this dirty stuff? You people see it as being dirty. But this thing I use to build the house. While we were talking, I saw a hole on the wall. And that same very thing was used to patch the hole. You remove the one in your hand. We all gathered them together. And the man used that dirty stuff to patch the hole.
Wow.
And he told me, he said, this thing, it can be thick and it can be small. It depends on how you use it. There are some problems in our lives that we see to be very dirty, that something that are unbearable. But sincerely, God used all these things to build us. He used all these things that we see to be very ugly, these things that we see to be very disappointing, these things that we see to be very depressing. God uses them to build us, to mold us, to make us strong.
Right.
The more they are, the more we become stronger.
Yeah.
If you can just hold on, hold firm on your faith, you will get over it. One thing is pressed upon me, Pastor. And that is, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree of one thing on earth, that is the word of God. The Bible says, my word shall not return back to me void. They shall accomplish every purpose that I have sent it forth. And the Bible says, if two of you shall agree upon one thing on earth, it shall be done in heaven. Can we all come together?
Yeah.
Let's
Amen.
Stand up,
Amen.
Join our hands together. We are not one. We are not two. We are more than multitude.
Yes, God.
If all of us here can join our faith together in one accord and cry unto God of Abraham, cry unto God of Isaac, the God that was able to deliver the Israelites,
hallelujah,
he will do it. He will do it. Lima Sanda Haliabo Shende Keposhida. O God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, you are the one that can do all things. The Bible describes you, O God, as the God of all flesh. And the Bible says there is nothing impossible for you to do. Father, Lord, you are the maker of heavens and the earth. You seated in heaven, O God, and you runneth the affairs of earth. The Bible even says that your eyes go to and fro the earth. You watch every steps of your children. You watch them jealously because you declare them as the apple of your eyes. Father in heaven, We are standing upon your word that the Amen. Bible says can never fail.
Amen.
The Bible says your word is yea and amen.
Yes, God.
Father, we stand upon the rock of ages. Hallelujah. We stand upon the word Hallelujah. That will never fail.
Hallelujah.
Father, we stand upon your word, O God. You have said, O Lord, Jesus. That ask and ye shall receive.
Amen.
Ask and ye shall receive, O God. Father, we have come unto Mount Zion, where the Bible says there shall be deliverance and holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Lord, we have come unto you, O God. We declare today, O Lord, in agreement, yeah. in accord, in one spirit, in one heart, O God,
Amen.
That those things that the devil wants to take, O Lord, yes. shall not be possible in Amen. The name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Lord God, those children, Jesus' O Lord, the Bible says we shall decree Amen. A thing here on earth and it shall be established in heaven. We decree by the blood of the Lamb. We yeah. decree in the name that is yes, above Lord. Every other Thank name Jesus. That those children shall live. They Amen. Shall not die
Hallelujah.
In the name Thank of Jesus. God. Father, they shall live. They shall not die in the name of Jesus. Lord, they shall live. They shall not die in the name of Thank Jesus. You will prove yourself to be God, O Lord. You will prove yourself to be God, O Lord. We have agreed, O Lord, and we believe that you are God
yeah.
that answered prayer.
Hallelujah.
We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Ooh. Amen.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, praise God. I agree. The children are going to live and not die. As I was I had heard about this earlier in the week, and I had the picture of these two kids sitting in high chairs by the table.
Mm.
So, this morning I just got this psalm here, Psalm 128, and I just want to read it.
Yeah.
It's actually, God's good, eh?
Amen.
And it's very, I shouldn't say this is exciting, it's stressful, but it's, but we serve a great God.
Amen.
It says, blessed is the man, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children, like olive plants, all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all yeah. the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So, Father, just pray for peace for Stan and Crystal.
Yes, God.
They share that extra pressure of being Stan, especially being the husband and the father and the grandfather and the spiritual leader. There's all that extra stress. So we just pray for peace. And you will see your children's children.
Yeah. Thank you. Chris has a song he wants to play.
Thank you.
wasn't it? Sorry. Yes.
I'm 82 years old. When I was 5 or 6, I came down with a rare incurable disease. I was paralyzed and blind. I had doctor after doctor after doctor come to see me. Nobody had a cure. But there was one who cures. Mm-hmm. And God touched me one day and totally healed me.
Hallelujah.
I didn't have people praying, a bunch of people praying like we have here today. Mm-hmm. You have all these people.
That's great.
And we're praying not only for your little family, mm-hmm. but we're praying for you and your wife and family too. And we believe that God is going to perform a miracle. And this young man is going to be used by God in the years to come. Even as a child, God can use him. And God's not finished doing miracles. And it's time we started to stand up and believe God for what he wants to do.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he wants to do this. And so I just pray that, God, you put faith in the hearts of these parents. Lift from them any fears, because, God, this is your child.
Amen.
And, Lord, in you want to raise him up and use him for your honor and glory. Not only for your honor and glory, Lord, but for all of us that we see, God, you do hear and you do care. And for all the little children here, we place them in your care, Father. But especially this little guy. Lord, we just ask that you touch him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And raise him up. Raise him up completely whole. And use him for your honor and glory in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, Elsie.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I was going to do one more. I said Marina. So, Marina, I know there's lots. I feel so loved. It's great. But we've dealt with this. I feel like, too, we've dealt with this. So,
there's two things. The first thing is God has allowed this to happen because there are doctors that God wants to save. And I just sense God wants to prove himself and change things in the medical field. Many people have prayed for years and years. And God's going to use this for his glory, because these are men. They see negative every day. And they're worn out, you know. So that's the first thing. And the second thing was, when we were singing, I kept getting the scripture, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And the Lord says, there's many hurting people in here, but God wants to you to come aside and be quiet so that you can cry before him. Like, some of you are looking to people, and the Lord's saying, I want to show myself faithful on your behalf. So if you're sensing that, oh, why doesn't so-and-so phone me or this and that, it's because he wants to pour into you.
Very good word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. One more.
This is specifically for you.
Okay.
And the Lord says, it's out of Isaiah, but anyways, it's verse 7. Instead of your shame, you will receive double, and instead of disgrace, people will shout with joy over your inheritance. Therefore, you will inherit a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and iniquity. And I will faithfully present your reward and make an everlasting covenant with you.
Receive that. Yeah. Amen. I like that double portion idea. Thank you, God. I'm going to open God's word. Just, Len, would you stand up and just pray for the word of God? Yeah.
Hallelujah. Lord, it's the Bible we believe. It's the word of God that we believe. It's the word of God that we stand on. And that's why we preach, Lord, your word.
Yes.
Sunday morning. So, we ask your blessing on the preaching today. open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, and we will receive what you have for us today because of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, bro. Amen. Whew. Whoa, I feel so much better. Thank you, God. Wow, I'm so blessed. We are so blessed to have you. So blessed to be a part of the family of God. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew today. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We want to hear God's word. It's a great story, and a story of how Jesus heals a paralytic. There's so many examples of that in Scripture. You just follow the story of Jesus, and he goes, it just seems like he goes from one miracle to the next miracle, which is really good news because that means he deals with me one moment, and then maybe it's you the next moment. And, you know, don't leave today if you need a miracle, you know. Don't leave if you need prayer or if you need to just know that you're forgiven or you're washed. There's time for everyone because God, you know, Jesus made that time available. We read in this the story about the paralytic. And just going to back up because I think it's helpful to see this in a context of what happened just prior to this. So I'm reading in chapter 8 of Matthew, verse 30. And that's where we get the story of, it's a weird story, but the story of all these, the demonic spirit legion who Jesus ends up sending into the swine because they want to go somewhere, I guess. I don't know I understand that exactly. But verse 30, it says, at some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you are driving us out, send us into the herd of pigs. Jesus said to them, go. And so they came out and they went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, and they went into the town, and they reported all of this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave the region. Like, you just wouldn't expect that, right? You'd think they'd be saying, Jesus, stick around. We got so much for you to do. There's so many people that need to be healed. There's so many who are possessed with demons, Jesus. So don't go. But no, they're afraid. They said, Jesus, get out of here. You got to get out of town. I don't know what you're doing, but it's really hurting the swine prices. And then it goes on, and this is sort of the context, and he's healing, right? So Jesus stepped into a boat, he crossed over, and he came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, and I love that verse, he saw their faith. I believe the day that he sees our faith, you know, there's evidence of it. We're standing together. We're believing. We're believing what maybe other people would say is unlikely, but we're believing it. When Jesus saw the faith of these men who brought the paralytic, he said to him, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And all at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the paralytic, get up and take up your mat and go home. And the man got up and he went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Many of us love this story. It's just a great story of healing. It's a great story of the power of God. It's also a great story of friendship. And I know I've preached on that before. We could spend all morning talking about friendship. And, you know, it's amazing that this guy's got four friends. I bet there's a lot of us here who don't even have four friends. I mean, four real friends who are willing to take their friend to Jesus and, you know, somehow get him up to the top of the roof and cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. I mean, I don't know. Do you have four friends who would do that? Because I'm not sure I do. to do willful property damage. But, you know, what God's Word also says in here, and it's a part of the story I know I never seem to get to, and so I want to get to this part of the story today. And it's not about friendship. It's not even about the healing. It's about authority, and God wants us to hear about authority today. I want you to hear God's word about the authority that we have been given as Christ followers. You have authority, authority that maybe you don't even recognize or maybe you don't believe, but we have authority, and I'm so glad that this comes, what I'm saying here now this morning comes out of the context of what we all just experienced because we spoke in authority. We spoke with authority. We reminded, we reminded each other. I don't think we needed to remind God, but we reminded each other of God's word and that he's the healer and that he promises us that he will be faithful to us and to our children, even to the third and fourth generation, he says. So I want to talk about authority. I don't want to talk about it. It's what God's word talks about, authority. And it strikes me, just even getting into this, that these four friends, you know, they come into this whole situation with really quite a bit of authority too. It's kind of amazing that they come in and they just exercise authority. They take command of the situation. They separate the crowds. I can just see them coming through, and they're holding, you know, four corners of the mat, and they're walking along, and they're saying, "Hey, get out of the way, get out of the way, move, move." Right? That's authority. They're taking a certain authority already, you know, already from the very beginning. And then they somehow loft up this man who's, who knows, 160, 180 pounds, and get him onto the roof. And someone takes the authority to cut a hole in this guy, this stranger's roof. That's authority. There, you know, it's illegal too, but it's authority. It didn't matter. You know, here's the thing. It's more important. It was more important for them to put a hole in this stranger's roof than it was more important that their friend get saved than put a hole in the stranger's roof. And I like that. I think sometimes we've got to be putting some holes in some people's roofs. And I'm not bringing up any names or anyone, but, you know, sometimes we've got to take authority, and it means we do something. It means that we actually carry someone. It means that we're more interested in seeing someone saved than what the popular opinion might be or what someone might say against us or what they might not like our methodology. We're worried a lot about methodology and what people might think. These guys didn't care about that at all. All they cared about is that they loved this guy, and they wanted to see him healed, and they wanted to see him saved. And so they took authority. They took authority to come before Jesus. There was no doubt, there was nothing going to stop them from standing before Jesus. It didn't matter, whatever was, there might have been hundreds of people surrounding that home and maybe dozens upon dozens who were in the house. They didn't care. They were going to find a way. They were going to take authority of the situation, and they were going to see Jesus. And so they cut a hole in the roof, and they lowered their friend through the roof. And Jesus said to the friend, "Your sins are forgiven." And that statement riled up all the leaders of the Jews and the Pharisees, because, I mean, that's an audacious statement. What do you mean your sins are forgiven? Who do you think you are? That's really what they were saying. Who is this guy who thinks he can forgive sins? And Jesus says, you know, what difference does it make whether I say your sins are forgiven or whether I say take up your mat and walk? But they charged him with blasphemy. The point is, just so we know where we're at here, we got authority. We have authority. Try to get my English a little bit more proper. We have authority in Christ. We have authority to bring people who are not saved to him. We have authority to proclaim healing where healing needs to take place. We have authority to drive out and rebuke demons. I'm not sure we use that authority very well. I'm not sure we understand it very well. And I'm in the same learning curve as all of you, still learning about it, but asking God to show. You know, if this is being made up by men, then I'm not interested in it. But as a matter of fact, this is what the Word of God teaches us, is that we have authority. So I want to spend a little time this morning addressing that and discovering what that looks like. And one of the things that I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, I think this is really important, is that the authority that God gives us, particularly when it comes to the authority to heal, the authority to cast out demons, the authority that goes hand in hand with signs and wonders, is that the authority that God gives the church, it's the authority that not any one of us has, but the body of Christ has the authority together, that authority always goes hand in hand with the harvest. Okay? So it's always about the mission. The signs and the wonders and even what Jesus was doing and when Jesus healed, it was always about the harvest and the mission and about evangelism. It was so that the kingdom of God would be advanced. Do you understand that? It was never, and we get caught up in this sometimes, but it was never the crazy wonderful things that happened for the sake of the crazy wonderful things, but it was always for the sake that the kingdom of God would be advanced and that people would get saved. It wasn't like God said, "I'm going to give you authority, you're going to do signs and wonders, so here's the magic wand. And now you can just go and just, you know, enjoy yourself because this is the most amazing stick." That's not what it's about. It's not about the stick. It's not even about the actual miracles or the demons. It's about that these things happen so that the church, so that people see that we are alive, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that there's hope for the one who's filled with a demon. There is hope for the twins that the doctors say aren't going to live. There is life where death is the only option because we proclaim Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that the power that God gives us, that the authority that he gives us is for the harvest. It's like this. It's sort of like if we were farmers and we had the harvest was ready, and Jesus told us that that's true, right? The harvest is white. And we had this huge John Deere combine, brand new, shiny green. It's got all the bells and whistles. Got this beautiful combine, but we don't have any diesel fuel. There's no power, right? And what if there's no diesel fuel, there isn't going to be a harvest. So the first thing that I want you to understand today on the basis of God's word is that there's power. God doesn't send you out into the world without power. God doesn't send you onto the streets without authority. God doesn't send you without the power of his Spirit and without the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do the work of ministry. He equips you. He equips me. He equips us together because we're the body of Christ. He gives us authority as the body of Christ to proclaim the power of God and to advance the kingdom of God so that people will get healed, so that demons will run, so that those who are lost will be found and saved. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God is so great. You know, he gives us authority. Let me just give you a couple of verses that just prove this. In Acts 1, verse 8, you will receive power, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Stop there. There you go. You know why you got power? You know why you have authority? It's so you'll be witnesses. Not just so that you'll have power, not just so that you have a magic wand, but so you'll be my witnesses. And if you follow that story of the Pentecost even a little further on, you get to Acts chapter 2, and remember all the amazing things that happened in Acts. The tongues of fire, and everyone speaking languages, and people are coming to the Lord by the thousands, right? Yeah, that all of the wonderful things that happened, all the signs and the expressions of the Holy Spirit, they're all for one reason. They are for the reason of the salvation of those who were there at that event, right? And if you read in Acts chapter 2, it's, I think, verse 38, something to the effect, or 37, the people heard this. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" Right? That's where we got to get to. You understand? That's why we need the authority that God gives us. It's why we need to exercise the power so that people will ask that question, "Well, what do we got to do here? What do I got to do to be saved?" And the answer is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive, not you may receive or you might receive, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. So, one more example. There's two. I'll give you one more. And I gave this a couple weeks ago, but just Jesus saying at the very end of his ministry, when he sits with his disciples, he says, "I'm going to leave you now. And I want to tell you this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore." See, there's the mission, right? There's the harvest. "Go, therefore, into all the world, and you make disciples of every nation." You know, that's a challenge to you and to me. Every one of us, and I want you to think about that today. Are you going? Are you using the power that God has given you? Are you exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that the people in your life who don't know Jesus are getting to know him, so that they're asking that all-important question, "What do I got to do here? What do I got to do here?" Repent and be baptized. Amen? There's lots of different ways that the New Testament particularly speaks about the authority that we've been given. One of the things that Jesus did, and we read about that before with with the pigs and the demonic men who are filled with demons, is he gives us the ability, he gives at least some of us, maybe we don't all have this ability, but this is a spiritual gift that we discern the spirits and that we learn how to cast them out. Whew, that's a tough one. It's a hard subject. People don't talk about this much unless you're in certain circles, and then that's all you talk about. But, you know, let's address this. This is biblical. We need people in our body who can speak against the spirit and command them to leave. I really believe that. I mean, that may be not everyone, but we need and we do have, thank God, people who do that and who recognize that deliverance needs to happen in some people's lives. And as a matter of fact, just kind of an aside here, there may be some of you here today, probably are, some of you have demonic spirits in you, and maybe you recognize that or you don't recognize that, but they need to be cast out, and you have invited them in somewhere along the line in your life. You've invited them to come in and take control of your life, or at least to take control of part of your life. You need to have that demon sent out so that you can be filled with God's Holy Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, maybe it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, we were having our prayer meeting here on a Sunday night, and someone who comes to our church all the time, and I'm not going to point them out, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but someone came in, and they're in the back, and they were clearly possessed. I mean, they were talking to themselves, he was yelling, he was walking around, he was upset, and I walked to the back, and the reason why I'm telling you this story is because it's not really super spiritual, and it's not really, there wasn't a lot of yelling and shouting and slaying people in the spirit. I just simply asked him a question. I said, do you know that you are, that there's a demon speaking through you right now? And he said, yeah, I know that. And he kind of said it to me like, what a dumb question. You know, it's obvious, isn't it? And he came to the front here, and we prayed over him, and I believe that's what really needs to happen. But then we spoke to that demon and said, you go. And he did. It was done. It was dealt with. I'm not saying that it's maybe, you know, the last time that anyone ever needs to pray or speak, but since that time, things have been significantly improved in that individual's life, and I am learning to believe more and more that there is a realm of the demonic that we need to have spiritual discernment about and that we need to speak against. Now, let's talk about that. If you I got to be careful how I say it. I don't want to offend anybody, or if I do offend, I'd like to offend everybody equally. The thing is, we're used to seeing how people cast out demons. We've watched it on TV or we've seen it in different circles. And a lot of times there's a lot of yelling and shouting and taking authority. And there used to be an evangelist named Ernest Angley. I don't know if you've ever heard this guy before. He was a linebacker. He was a linebacker in the NFL. He used to hit people with a part of his hand right here. He says, slain in the spirit. And they were. And most of them, if they were wise, they didn't get up again because they might get slain again. Now, I want to be careful that, you know, maybe that's how you pray and that's how God leads you to pray. And you need to take authority by screaming and yelling and getting all worked up. And I'm not going to say that's not legitimate. But I do want to, but there's some people who aren't comfortable with that and who are more quiet. And what I want you to understand is that Jesus never did it that way. That when it came to this, all these demonic that we just read about, Jesus says one word. I love this. He just said, go. That was it. He didn't explain this to the demons. He didn't say, okay, here's what I want you to do first, and then second, and third, and then I want you to, no, he just said, go. To me, that's authority, right? People who really have authority, and even in my life, whether it's policemen or other people who we might have over us, people in authority, they generally don't need to scream and shout and yell a lot and claim their authority. They have it. You don't need to claim it. So if you have it, just exercise it. Just speak it. We really have the authority to say to a demon, you go, and he will go. Isn't that amazing? We don't need to stir it all up. We don't need to get all together in a huddle. We don't need to be like WWF wrestlers who hit their head 6 times and then they drive out the demon. You know, you have the authority. Drive out the demon. And another thing is I never pray to demons. And I don't see in the Bible where we should pray to demons. My prayers are restricted to God. I pray to only one, and that is my triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But again, because we're brought up sometimes, or we've seen this so many times, I have heard numerous people who are praying to God in one moment, and then the next minute they're praying to the enemy. You know, oh Lord, we thank you for this day, and thank you for all your blessings and all your goodness, and now I speak against you, enemy, that you get out of this place right now. You know, you don't need to pray to the enemy. You can speak to the enemy. I have no problem with that. You pray to God. You pray to God. We don't need to pray to the enemy. We need to speak. I just need to say, go. Be gone. Be out of here. And I just, you take that for what it's worth. That's just a challenge. And maybe that's a thing we can argue about whether, I'm not going to argue, but whether we should be including the enemy in our prayers or not. Maybe it's just a bad habit we've gotten into. My prayers are going to be for Jesus. I'm crying out to God. That doesn't mean that there aren't times when I need to speak and look someone right in the eye and say, that demon is gone right now. You leave. Go. And speak with the authority that God has given us. The Bible, are you getting that? The Bible speaks about a lot of different kinds of authority that Jesus had, right? Authority. He had authority to cast out demons. Jesus had the authority to heal the sick. He had the authority to raise the dead. Ooh, that's a big one. Jesus had authority that goes way beyond what, you know, what we experience, I think, or what we know. But we know that he was used by the Father, and he had power. There was power in the ministry of Jesus Christ. But, now get this. He also had the authority, he said. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to raise it up again. Right? I don't see a lot of people who are looking for that kind of authority. We talk a lot about, I want authority to heal people. I want authority to cast out demons. I don't hear many people saying, I want authority to lay down my life. And yet that's, you want to know really where the power that Jesus had and has, where it came from, was his willingness to lay down his life and to take it up again. The Father gave him that authority. And truly, if we are going to reach a point that as the body of Christ, we're going to start walking in that deep power of God, in that absolute authority where we stand against the enemy, we need to be ready to lay down our lives. Not just about the show. It's not just about the magic wand. It's about I'm willing to give up my life for you and for your kingdom, God, for the salvation of those who are lost. The power that Jesus, I want you to understand this, I'm trying to get this across, but that the power and the authority that Jesus had, it all rooted back to the cross. It originated in his authority to lay down his life and to take it up again and to be raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, I want to end by saying here's a couple of kinds of authority that I want to leave you with that you have, all right? You may not have all the authority. I think as the body of Christ, we have the authority, but like we said earlier, some of you may have the authority to heal. Some of you may have the authority to cast out demons. Someone might have the authority to bring light into darkness. But here's two things the Bible says that you do have authority in your life, and I want you to hold on to this. The first is you have the authority. You have the authority to tell the truth. Jesus spoke as one who spoke with authority. We hear that a number of different times. And they marveled at him, even in this story of the paralytic. They marveled, wow, this guy. They praised God that God gave authority to man, it says. You have that authority. Every single one of you, it's not just a unique spiritual gift. You have the authority to tell the truth, even if you're just a kid. Not just a kid, even if you are a kid. Even if, you know, your Joy or your Stan, you have the authority to tell the truth. You have the authority. You have the authority to bring the gospel message. You have that authority. He says, I send you out, all of you. Go therefore into all the world. I have all authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I give it to you. You have the authority. Teach with authority. Preach with authority. Tell them. Tell them that I'm alive. Tell them I love you. Tell them that I've saved you. Tell the world I forgive them. Tell the world you have authority to tell the truth of what's in the Bible. You get that? And you need to do it with authority. It's time that we start doing that with authority. We're so apologetic. You know, can I share something with you? Am I allowed to just share something with you? God just has this little word I'd like to give you. Man, let's stop that. Here's the authority. It's in God's word. It's not me. It's God's word. I have the authority of God's word. I'm going to tell you that God says this in his word for you today. You know, because it's in God's word. This is what God says. We have the authority to teach and to proclaim truth. Amen? The second thing, and this just blows me away. We have the authority, every one of us, to declare the forgiveness of sins. And there's power there. Man, there's so much power there that we do not avail ourselves of. We avoid this. We don't talk about it. We leave this for the priest. Man, you are all priests. You are all prophets, priests, and kings. You are all priests. And it's time that we take the authority. And I know that we can talk about all the other kinds of authority, and we've done that already, but you have the authority to say to someone, you have the authority to say to someone, you are forgiven by Christ. Not by me. I can't forgive anyone. I'm not saying that you're forgiven. I'm not forgiving you, but I can tell you this, that because of the grace of God, I'm going to tell you some of the best news that you're ever, ever going to hear, and that's that you're forgiven. You are cleansed. There's power. This is life-changing. People are dying all around us because they're not hearing this message. They marveled in that story. They marveled at the authority that Jesus had. And that Jesus said to that man, your sins are forgiven. You know what? It's time we start telling people this. Your sins are forgiven. What are you moping around for? Why are you going back to the bottle? Why do you head back to the casino? Your sins are forgiven. He's washed you clean. You repent. We read it, right? You repent. You get baptized. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven, brother. I declare it. I have the authority to declare it. He's given me the power to declare it. I can say it to you without any doubt, without any hesitation. Your sins are forgiven. You're clean. You're washed. There's none of that stuff that sticks to you. Not one bit of it. Or to me, for that matter. Thank God. My past doesn't haunt me. I'm not condemned by it anymore. I am a new man. Hallelujah. It's over. Jesus, when he cried out, it's finished, he never said, I am finished. He said, it is finished. The work is done. It is. It's time that we start looking each other in the eye, or we start looking at people that come to your cafe, or people who come to Loaves and Fishes, or people who are in the apartment. You look them in the eye and you go, you know what? God forgives. It's all done. It's all taken care of. All of it. You are forgiven. Isn't that good? We have the authority. This is what maddened the Pharisees. This is what just riled them up, that Jesus would dare blaspheme like this. How dare he forgive sins? Well, it's time that we start daring to do what Jesus did. We start taking someone's face and we say, you are forgiven.
Amen.
You're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven.
So are you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're going to remember that, right? Hallelujah. And I just declare it to you today by the authority that God has given me as a believer, the same authority that he's given to you. I declare to you that you are cleansed, that sin doesn't stick to you. Hear God today. You are cleansed. That sin doesn't stick to you. It has been washed in the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. I don't forgive you, but God forgives you. He washes you clean. You do not walk out of these doors dirty and sinful and unrighteous. You walk out of here clean, washed in the blood, redeemed by the Savior. It's time. It's time that we take that authority
to declare the forgiveness of sins and say, that's okay, look at me. You are not condemned. You are righteous. And you are forgiven, April. Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you, God. Let's pray. God, thank you for good news. And we just want to get to the core of what you want us to do, Lord. We're tired of meeting together for no purpose. We're tired of chasing after our tails. We want to take the authority that you've given us as the body of Christ and show the world that there is power in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that your authority would just flow from us naturally, that we'll have the firmness of just even a single word, say, go, or that we'll be able to tell people that they're no longer under condemnation, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I pray, God, that we will see people rising up here who have the spiritual gift of discerning spirits, as your word says, who will have the spiritual gift of delivering people and setting them free from the demons that they've allowed into their lives. And Lord, we have a variety of opinions in all of this, but we look at your word, and your word needs to teach us and show us, Lord. I thank you for this day. And I pray, God, today that anyone who's here who knows that there's a demon that keeps whispering in their ear or a demon who keeps controlling their lives, that they'll just come and be prayed for and that demon will be cast out, and that we will leave today with a message of authority that because of Christ and because of his blood, we are pure and holy. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Alvin, you want to come up here and just stand here? Yeah. It's not meant as a punishment. Alvin often prays for people who are struggling and who need to be set free because there's some kind of a spirit or an evil spirit or demonic. Is there someone you can have help you with that, Alvin? You can, yeah, Tim, that'd be good. You just need a couple. Yeah. And the other thing is, I'm really serious about this, but if you're to come here today and you just feel the weight of sin, you feel like what you've done is just too heavy and it's too big, that the people you've hurt or the crimes that you've committed or the things you've stolen or all that stuff, is it just keeps weighing you down, I'm going to ask you to come and just to kneel on the carpet, and let's leave it there. Can we do that? Jesus said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. So why would you want to bring all that stuff back out the door with you? Just leave it. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. So while we sing, we're going to sing a couple songs and just worship God. I invite you to come. Come for deliverance. You know, here's the guys that are going to pray. They're going to speak. Speak to that demon. Speak to that spirit. I know we don't do this very well or very often. We're going to do it. And if you want to come to the front and leave your burden, let's do that. Just stand up and sing with me.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. Be wrapped in death and love, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, how will see how great.
You have 3 more weeks? 9 days. Okay, I'm not speaking prophetically. I'm just guessing. Okay. We're going to pray. God, right now, in Jesus' name, we uphold Mary, Lord, and this little baby, God. And we thank you that you are God of life, and we declare that life, Lord, that this little child is going to be born strong and well, and that you're going to protect this little child, Lord, that they are going to be blessed by God. And I thank you, Lord. I pray that you will be with Mary as she undergoes the labor and the C-section, or however you choose to do this, God. And we commit them to you, Lord. We know what happened last time, and we need you, God. We cry out to you. We know that you are a God of life. And Lord, I pray for your protective cover, Lord, your divine protection. And we look forward to the day when we can bring great glory to your name because of this great birth, Lord. And we just commit this. And Crystal, you're going to pray too.
God, I pray that there may be great peace in the Lord, yeah. God. There will be just
hallelujah.
Assurance, God, that you are with them.
Jesus.
You are with them.
Thank you.
Lord, and that they are already filled with faith because they know the outcome. Father, I thank you. I pray that you'll give them great faith.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Amen. Thank you, God. You say amen?
Amen.
I want to invite you to, there's a meal that's going to be served. And if you're new here, please stay. We want to get to know you better. I just give you this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, give you His peace. Amen. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. I will exalt you. You are my God. Exalt you.
Lift you up. I love you.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you. You are my God.
My hiding place, my safe refuge. Lord, you are my friend and king, anointed one, most holy. I will exalt you. I will exalt you.
I will exalt you.
I will exalt you. I will exalt you. You are mine.
My hiding place, my safe refuge. Lord, you are my friend and King, anointed one, most holy. Because you're with me, because you're with me.
Your will be, I will not fear.
My hiding place,
my hiding place, my safe refuge,
my treasure, Lord,
you are my friend and King, anointed one. Lord, you are my friend and King, anointed one, most holy. I will exalt you.
I will
I will exalt you.
I will exalt you.
You are my God.
Yes.
Thanks, Paul. Everything. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'll see you.